Blog Talk Radio.
Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you will get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the root bad. So don't come here being a root bad. This is a Food Fat Free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Hello, you good people all out there across the fruited plain. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. If you would like to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, insults, trolling, calling in to just disrupt the show without giving anything to a conversation. If you do that, you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat, which means I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectful in your questions and your comments. All righty. Well, I hope today is finding you guys doing well here in Durham. We got a little rain going on. I almost didn't have a show today because I was supposed to take my wife to the beach. My wife wanted to go to the beach, but there's a thunderstorm threat in the place where we were going to go to the beach. So we said, well, maybe another time. You know, she was a little bit disappointed. I was too, because anytime you can get up out of here is a good time. So, but anyway, folks, I'm telling you, like I said last week, it seems like every day something new happens. And I'm telling you, it's becoming easier to do a show and to set up a show because things are just coming at us at light speed, you know. And, well, this week you had the shooting in Colorado at the grocery store. And, of course, we had the shooting at the massage parlors in, I forget where that was, in the Atlanta area. And folks are saying, you know, this is Asian hate, people are saying, you know, stop the hate against Asians and whatever. And I think I talked about this last week, but people are talking about, you know, let's stop the Asian hate. But Asians have been going through violence for decades from black folks, and nobody says anything about it. But here it is, this lone white gentleman goes around and kills kills eight people. Six of them were Asian. And the guy, when they arrested him, he said, "I don't have anything personal against Asians." He said he was a sex addict, and he saw these massage parlors as purveyors of his bad habits, and that's why he went and shot up those places. But of course, most of them happen to be Asian, which a good deal of Asians are employed at these massage parlors. But forget that he also gunned down two white people. You know, he gunned down two white people as well, but nobody's saying anything about that. They just want to concentrate on the Asians. And, you know, of course, you know, everyone wants to, you know, suck on this story, and they want to attach themselves to this story and say, "Oh, we got to stop the Asian hatred and, you know, violence against Asians," which Asians on a daily basis suffer some form of violence from black folks. I'm just saying, you might say, "Well, where's that story? I ain't never heard that," or anything. You might go ahead and say that. But of course, our full news media is not going to post that to you, because that's not going to increase their ratings. Because they feel like, hey, if we post this story, you know, people gonna call us racist, you know, yada yada yada. When in reality, that is what's going on, and people don't want to acknowledge that. But you know that situation is starting to die down, and you know, when the shooter in, was it in Colorado? The shooter in the guy who shot up the grocery store, I think that was in Colorado. And once again, what's going on in Boulder, Colorado anyway? You know, you had the Batman shooter a few years ago, and now you got this going on. But when that shooting occurred in Colorado this week, I already knew what the script was going to be. I already knew what it was going to be. I knew how it was going to play out. Oh, he's a Trump supporter. Oh, he had a gun. He killed these people with a gun. So we got to get stronger gun control laws. And I knew it was going to happen that way. But then we found out the name of the guy. And even what's her name's Kamala Harris's niece got in on the action, saying, "Oh yeah, this is a white Trump supporter and all this and everything." And let me pull this up right quick. And so he was charged with 10 counts of murder. He's been charged with 10 counts of murder. And when they first shown his picture from a distance, he looked like a white guy. But we found out that this guy was a Syrian, I guess you could say a Syrian refugee or immigrant from Syria. And the news stories kind of got quiet after they learned his name. He was a 21-year-old. He'd been here in the States for about 10 years. And his name is Ahmad al-Aliwi Alissa, and he's a Muslim. And, of course, they're not going to publicize this shooting as much as they would other shootings, because this doesn't fit the narrative. Because, you know, only white people shoot people in mass shootings, that's a lie, because 75% of mass shootings are committed by black folks. And the reason why a lot of people don't believe that, because, you know, they ain't hear it on the news, and they think if they didn't hear it on the news, then it must not be true. And if you're coming up here and I didn't hear it, and you're telling me this and I didn't hear it on the news, then you must be lying. But no, most of your mass shootings are committed by black folks. What constitutes a mass shooting? When a mass shooting is when three or four people are involved, okay? You got a shooter, and he kills or injures at least 3 people. So we have mass shootings almost on a daily basis in America, and they're committed. 75% of the mass shootings are committed by black folks. And not only that, this shooter, you know, he was a Muslim. He's a Syrian Muslim. He murdered a Boulder police officer. I think the Boulder police officer was the first one to get killed. And this Boulder police officer had 7 children. This is the tragedy of this. 7 children. And this officer, he was the first one to be killed because when he heard the shots, he ran to where the shots were coming from. And, you know, he's a father of 7. I think his youngest child is 7 years old, if I'm correct. 7 or 11, one of those ages. They were already, everybody was ready. You know, before the evidence got out, they were like, oh, he must be a Trump supporter. He's a gun advocate. He's probably one of them hicks from the southeastern part of the United States of America. You know, one of them types. And now they done got quiet. They're not talking as much about this as they would a Sandy Hook or a Boulder, Colorado. But this is just how funny people are today. That's how funny they are. If it doesn't fit their narrative, it doesn't get any play on the airwaves. Because our news media has an agenda to get you to think what they want you to think. That's our news media, people. Our news media, they feel like they can get you to think a certain way. And sad to say, a lot of people who don't do any research, who don't do any reading, who don't use common sense or critical thinking, the media can tell them anything and they'll just jump right to conclusions. That's why people still think that Ahmaud Arbery was jogging when he got shot and killed. They think that he was just out jogging. Oh, good day for a jog. And then these two white hicks, they saw a black person. They shed their doggone KKK uniform. They said, hey, let's get up a black guy. And so they chased this guy down and just shot him in cold blood. And one report even says that they hit him with their truck. Now, folks, help me out here. I saw the video of that incident, and I don't see one time where he was hit by that truck. Now, the truck stopped ahead of him. I'm talking about Ahmaud Arbery. And Ahmaud Arbery ran to the truck to confront the truck's inhabitants, its occupants. And a struggle ensued, and he tried to grab the gun of one of them, and that's when he was shot and killed. Now, people say it was just cold-blooded murder. They just came up, oh, he's jogging. Yeah, let's shoot him. Boom. You know, no, that's not what happened. Now, folks, I don't care what your sentiments are or whatever, but if you have a gun and someone is grabbing your gun, then that person is armed. You can call it whatever you want to. You know, that person is armed. Do I agree with the father and son, what they did? No, I don't. And I'm not talking about the shooting. I'm talking about them confronting Ahmaud Arbery. They should have just said, hey, we're killing this guy, police officers, we got this guy, we know where he's going. You know, that's what they should have done. And they stopped the truck. He ran up to the truck in front of them, and that ended up with his life. And that got the whole, you know, that got the that started everything rolling last year. And then, you know, we had the Breonna Taylor that heated things up a little bit more. And then when George Floyd hit, you know, everybody just lost their freaking minds. But the the theme to all of these incidents from last year, the running theme is that these people were killed simply because they were black, because if it had been a white person, they would have taken them to Burger King before they took them to jail. But see, this is why we have to examine every situation. We can't just automatically jump to conclusions using our emotions as a jump off point. This is why people still believe that Michael Brown was murdered by Darren Wilson. People still believe in the hands up, don't shoot. That is not what happened. The evidence doesn't point to that. Hands up, don't shoot never happened. But because a lot of us in the black communities, in the black, you know, the apostles of blackness, we believe that any negative incident involving a black man being victimized by a white person, we automatically think that that white person is racist, and that's not the case. Yeah, Flycat, exactly. Yeah, what did the mainstream media report on? Of course, they're going to report on the white guy killing the Asians. Because for some reason, white people are the devil. They're sons of the devil. Pull their pants down, you'll see the forked tail. You know, I mean, and folks, let me tell you all, my experience with white folks is totally different from what I hear about white folks. Whether we be black, white, or whatever, we're still all human beings. We're still all God's creations. And, you know, for people to demonize white folks like they do, I mean, everywhere you go, oh, white folks, white folks, white folks. Folks, white folks are not the devil. Because I can tell you for surety, I've grown up around black people. I've lived in black neighborhoods and everything. There's sure enough some devils in the black race as there are in the white race. Well, there are more devils in the white race. Come on now. And you still got black people today saying, yeah, I believe white people are the devil, you know. My grandmother even told me that, said, yeah, I don't agree with everything Louis Farrakhan says, but I agree with this, that white people are the devil. No, white people are not the devil. They're no more or less devilish than black people are. Everybody has their devils in their favorite little groups. They have devils in there. And we say the demonization of whites continues at an accelerated rate. The ultimate goal is for whites to rise up in an armed conflict. This conflict will usher in the communist takeover. You know what, Flycatch? You got a point there. You pretty much got a point there, and I hate to admit that, but you do have somewhat of a point there, because I want to tell you, this is how I see the scenario. This is how I see it. White people are going to get tired of being demonized by black folks. They're going to get tired of it. And then this thing might come full circle. And then when the white folks say, okay, we're pushing back, we're not taking this mess anymore, no more of this crap anymore, and then people, yeah, see, I told you, white people are racist. And it just makes you want to shake your head like, oh, my goodness. Please, Scotty, beam me up. But yeah, Scotty. Scotty, where you at, you moron? I said beam me up. You know. But we cry racism at every little thing that we see that happens negatively towards black people, because black people don't do anything wrong. They don't commit crimes. They don't do anything bad. They don't gang bang. All they do is skip to grandmama's house with a basket full of freshly baked muffins, and you know, they want to go to the grandma and tell grandma how their day was and whatever. The black folks never do anything wrong. We're not criminals. We don't belong in jail. We got so many. Why there's so many black people in jail? Because, you know, this white racist system has black people in jail for no reason. As if they just say, hey, look, there's a black person. Let's put him in jail. That's not how it happens, people. Most people's ticket to jail is a crime that they commit. When you commit a crime, that's your ticket to jail. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe there are people in jail that shouldn't be there. But let me tell you something. It isn't just black people. So let's just get that. Let's get that out of our heads right now. That it's only black people being picked on, and we're the only ones who get falsely accused, because there are people of several races that are in jail for no reason. And it isn't just black people who get executed because of murders or anything like that. You may not believe this, but a plot to trigger a race war has been uncovered in the Pentagon. You might be right. I might have to look into that. I don't put it past you. I don't put it past anyone now. And I think they're trying. Now, this is just my opinion. I think the powers that be are trying to gear up for a race war, because that's how they're going to slip their little communism and socialism into the country. That's just my opinion. But I wouldn't put it past them. My source for this was aired on the Alex Jones show today. Alex Jones? You listen to Alex Jones podcast? Nah, folks. I know Alex Jones has gotten his demonization and everything, but I don't know the guy. And I've heard some people say, no, Alex Jones this and Alex Jones that. I don't know the guy, you know, so. But you might be right. You might be right there. And if you all hear any thunderstorms passing over us right now as I speak, so, you know. But black folks, they think that, you know, all this stuff that happens to us, they don't want to look in within their communities and say, hey, you know, we need to stop this. We need to stop the crime. We need to stop the single motherhood. We need to stop the miseducation of our youth. They never look at themselves and say, but they're always looking to the government to solve their problem, because to them, the government has become a god. And anything that's going to be fixed in the black community is going to be fixed by the government. That's why every 4 years or whenever we have an election cycle, they're always out there, come on, y'all, vote, come on, vote, 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 vote. If you vote, that's going to make a difference. Now, I'm not telling people not to vote, but I don't think voting is going to make a difference, to be honest with you. We have to stop depending on someone else to do something for us that we can do for ourselves. And we need to stop demonizing the white folks. We need to stop that. We need to stop it. And you're going to be a coon and chill out and, you know, boot driving and misconception and fetch you all you want to. But the next day, I'm going to say the same thing. We need to stop the demonization of white folks, because white folks are human, just like everyone else. And blacks are nothing more than pawns on the political chessboard, yeah. And you know what? I don't know if any of you all, well, I'm pretty sure some of you all might know something about chess, but the most vulnerable pieces on the chessboard are usually your pawns. They're the easiest ones to capture. They're the easiest ones to stop their advancement on the chessboard. You know, stop being a pawn and think for yourself, you know. Black folks, and we have to stop. And here's another thing we need to stop doing. Whenever a black person decides to think for themselves, stop demonizing them because they're thinking for themselves. Folks, the government is not the end all. The government is not your solution. The government's not going to do for you what you need to be doing for yourself. Don't get me wrong. The government plays a part. They do. Always depend on the government to do for you what you need to be doing for yourself. Now, this week, I caught a glimpse of a video. I don't know if any of you all know of a guy named Roland Martin. Roland Martin is one of the members of the Apostles of Blackness. He believes that government is the end all, is the cure all for whatever ails the black race, and that we need to vote, and if we vote the right way, then all of these issues going on with the black race is going to become null and void. One thing he fails to notice is that everybody, every race has some issues going on, and he only thinks about the black race. Now, Roland Martin, he has a YouTube video, Roland S. Martin, and this video that I pulled up, I should have left a link for you guys. Let me go ahead and do that now while I talk. In this video that I pulled up this week, he's over here talking to this young man whose name is King Randall I. Or King Randall the First, and this young man is a founder of the X Boys, the X for Boys. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. This kid is 21 years old. 21, and he has a school, if I'm correct, in the Atlanta area, if I'm correct. And he's teaching boys who are not that much younger than he is how to become mechanics, trying to show them how to become productive citizens. And he was on Roland Martin's show. And Roland Martin basically derided this young man. This man is 21 years old. He's done bought his own school, but Roland Martin, it just blows his mind. The young man was telling him, we don't need the government to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. And Roland Martin's like, well, do you vote? As if the government is the cure-all for everything. And Roland Martin seemed to get a little ticked off when this young man said, we need to do for self. And see, Roland Martin, he's one of them Obama supporters. You know Obama? You got a business? You didn't build that. Roland is one of those that think that anything, every step of your life is due to government. When you get up in the morning, that's government. When you sneeze, that's government. Every little thing is government. And this young man was telling him, man, I wish we had more 21-year-olds who thought like this young man did. Matter of fact, I feel a little guilty because when I was 21 years old, I didn't think like he did. Let's start a school. Get these kids out of trouble. Let's teach them a trade so they can be marketable, so that they can be self-reliant instead of relying on the government for some stamps or unemployment or something like that. But Roland Martin took offense to this young man. And I'm like, how in the world can you take offense to this man? This boy needs to be celebrated. This is who we need to be plastering on the news media. check this dude out. He's a black kid. He's 21 years old. And he's doing all this stuff for his community. This kid said, look, I'm not waiting on Donald Trump. I'm not waiting on Joe Biden. And he was basically saying, yeah, the government serves its purpose. But they're not, for the most part, they don't care about the black community. That's why, and see, that's why I always said that the government needs to stay out of everyone's way. The government is supposed to abide by the laws as they are in the Constitution and to provide a defense for this country. That's basically what the government is for. The government needs to get out of the way, let us do for ourselves. We don't need big government. We need a small, I'm not saying that we don't need government, but the government needs to be as small as possible. And yeah, Donald Trump did promote trade schools for the black communities. And not only that, Donald Trump helped to fund HBCUs for the next 10 years. I don't know if that is still, you know, up and running. I forgot what it was called. The Future Project or something like that. He opened up funding for HBCUs for 10 years. But of course, nobody's going to mention that because, you know, Donald Trump. Donald Trump hates black people. But getting back to this, I'm going to play this video for you all, and I'm going to make some points. I'm going to make some points where I can. But anyway, I want you all to hear this. I'm not set up properly. Give me a second, people. But see, whenever a black person wants to go out, and they want to do for themselves and help their community and everything with little to no government assistance, the apostles of blackness, you don't need the government. And see, that's the problem with the black. That's the problem with our black communities. We done made a god out of government to the point where we think we can't get by with anything unless the government steps in to help us out. And the government loves it. Our government loves that because the government has control over you, because the government is helping you out with all these things or whatever, they basically have control over you. And they can tell you, okay, well, if you don't do this, we're not going to do this. Okay, government, okay, we're sorry. That's why the government needs to get out of our way. That's why I believe in freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, you know, things of this sort. But the government is supposed to be that little lizard. I don't know if any of y'all live in Florida. And there's this little lizard called a skink. And they run pretty fast or whatever. They got a lot of lizards in Florida. But, you know, there's an animal that loves to eat lizards. It's called a cat. And cats love to eat lizards. That's how our government's supposed to be. The people are the cat. And the government's supposed to be that little lizard. But we've allowed the lizard to mutate into something that we can't handle. We allowed it to mutate into Godzilla. And our government is not supposed to be Godzilla. It's supposed to be that little lizard you see running along in your yard or on the rails to your steps or something like that. For you to sing the praises of the government all the time, that's a red flag to me. That's a major problem with me. Let's see if I can get this all hooked up here. That is a huge problem. It's a huge red flag with me. Now, like I said, the government serves its purpose, but it needs to stay in its lane. But what we have today is a government that wants to take over all the lanes of traffic. And that's not how this country is supposed to be run. But let's see if I can get this on now. Hopefully I got the volume up good.
And you should join our Radio Talk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show.
There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real. It's Roland Martin Unfiltered. Support the Roland Martin Unfiltered Daily Digital Show by going to RolandMartinUnfiltered.com. You can make this possible. Joining us right now is King Randall One, founder of the X for Boys organization based out of Georgia. So, King, explain why in the world you're conservative.
I hope you all can hear that. Just let me know if it's loud enough or whatever. I certainly hope you all can hear that. But I'm going to run it again. I'm going to run this. And let's go.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So please explain to me why this bill, why Republicans are pushing for a voter suppression bill when last year we saw record turnout in Georgia, record turnout. So why would they want to restrict voting when you just had record turnout in Georgia?
Well, let me start off by saying you had me mistaken. I'm not a Republican. I do consider myself conservative.
No, actually, I didn't say Republican. I said you're conservative.
Okay.
I said you're conservative.
Right, absolutely.
That's what I said.
Right. Yeah, I was saying that because you called me a Republican on Twitter. However, with this particular bill, I don't consider voting my particular fight. I do consider voting an asset to us and maybe something we can use as a tactic to help. But as far as us pushing voting all the way out, like voting is going to be some systemic change for the black community, to me is not the way to go.
Okay. What they're talking about here is the Georgia reform bill, the Georgia voter reform bill. And a lot of black people are up in arms because they think this is going to disenfranchise some black folks. I don't know where they get this from. In Georgia, they're going to require you to have an ID. And I'm going to be honest with you all. One of the things that frustrates me is these folks going around talking about, why do they need an ID? That's racist. That's racist. That's racist. How is having an ID to vote racist? Can someone please expound on that for me? How is having a voter ID, having some type of ID to vote, racist and suppressing the black vote? I even heard someone say that they want to reduce the number of voters that go to the polls. You know, the Republicans and the conservatives, because they know if they reduce the number of people going to the polls to vote, that's going to be in their favor. How do they know this? How do you know that reduced number of people going to vote isn't going to vote Democrat? And see, they read too much into this type of stuff. They read too much into it. Oh, this is voter suppression. How is this voter suppression? How is this going to stop black people from voting? Folks, let me tell you all something. There's only been I've only had one problem when it came to voting. One problem: standing in line in order to vote. That's the only problem I've ever had. And most of the time, I only had one time when I stood in a long line to vote. But most of the time when I go to vote, I'm in and out within 10 to 15 minutes. And I've never had an issue with my ID. Well, they're going to require this and they're going to require that. Now, the thought that black people won't be able to vote because they can't get an ID, to me, that's racist. Yeah, Flycatch, yeah, you're right along the line of what I'm talking about. See, basically what you're saying is that black people are too stupid to have an ID.
That's basically what you're saying. Now, I've had a personal ID since, my goodness, probably since I was a teenager. And even if you don't have a driver's license, you can still get a non-driver's license. And it doesn't cost much. Here in Durham, it costs less than $20. But you mean to tell me that your typical black person can't scrape up enough money to get an ID? And you want to talk about who a sellout is? You got black people who believe that. To me, that's a real sellout because you're telling your own people, oh, we can't do this. We can't do this. That's basically what you're saying. Oh, we can't do this. Why they want us to have an ID? Oh, it's like a poll tax. We got to go. We got to pay. We got to pay to be able to vote. Well, if you already got an ID, you ain't got to pay anything. See, a lot of these people, they don't have critical thinking skills. Thinking skills. I mean, if you already have an ID, you ain't got to pay anything. And here in Durham, I think it costs like $13 to get an ID. And it's nothing complicated. When they ask me for my ID, oh, here's my driver's license. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, Mr. Brown, how you doing? Here's your voter sheet. Go vote. And like I said, I'm usually in and out within 10 to 15 minutes. Very rarely do I have a hard time to vote. But these folks like Roland Martin, they think, oh, they're trying to tighten up on the voter laws. This is going to disenfranchise black people. In what way? So you're telling me black people can't get a vote? And here's the thing, too. This vote isn't just this bill that they passed in Georgia. This bill covers everybody, not just black people. And see that's the point right there. These people are telling, oh, we black people, we're not able to do this like white people are. That's basically what you're saying without even saying it. And yeah, that's exactly what it is. They don't believe what they're saying. They really don't. These leaders, they don't believe that. That's just. And just like Flycat said, they use this talking point to commit more voter fraud. And I might make some people mad when I say this, but our last election was stolen. Probably why they had this Georgia the voting reformation bill. Because they want to be sure that this doesn't happen again. And the people that going around saying there's no evidence that there was voter fraud, you know it was. You're just glad that Donald Trump is not in office. That's what that is. You don't care if Joe Biden won by cheating or any other means. You're just glad to get the orange man out of the White House. Change my mind. Go ahead and change my mind. Try to change my mind anyway. But y'all just glad that the orange man is not in office. Y'all don't care if he lost by cheating, but you all can, you know, oh, there was no evidence there was cheating. How? Seriously. It was 11%. I think it's 11 or 12% of black folks voted for Donald Trump, when it's usually about 9%. Can you tell me how Joe Biden got 15 million votes more than Barack Obama did 8 years ago? You're not going to convince me that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama. You're not going to convince me that Bill Biden got more votes than Hillary Clinton. Top of that, Donald Trump gained 11 million more votes in this election, this past election, than he did in his first election. And I had someone come up here and say, oh, no, Joe Biden, he won 15 million more votes than Barack Obama. No, he didn't. You're not going to get me to believe that. And when you would go to these rallies, when you saw the rallies, Joe Biden hardly even campaigned during the election. He hardly even campaigned. Now, it makes me think, you know, and this is just opinion, makes me think people's like, Joe, don't even do anything. We got you. We got you. We got this. Now, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's just my opinion. Y'all know good and well. Y'all know good. I mean, if you just think, Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama. Wait a minute. Something here don't sound right. And did you all see that press conference the other day? Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm not one who sits down and watches press conferences. But from what I saw of Joe Biden's press conference, I was like, oh, my goodness. Somebody has invented a cure for insomnia. Watch this. You'll probably sleep like a baby. I was like, what's Joe talking about? What's he talking about? He failed to mention about the pandemic that we're going through currently. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off track. I want you all to hear this young man. I want you all to hear him. Let me go back to this Roland Martin video on YouTube, and I want you all to listen to the rhetoric between these two, between Roland Martin and Team Randall One.
If you look at the human anatomy of the body has many different parts. And I do respect you guys' fight, you know, in regards to voting, but I don't consider myself fighting for the right to vote that much.
Do you not vote?
We haven't got anything.
Do you not vote?
Government. Yes, sir, I vote, absolutely.
Okay, so.
And there's Roland Martin. Do you not vote? Do you not vote? That's not the point, Roland. That's not the point. And he basically what's going on here is Roland Martin feels defensive because he's been latched on to a certain talking point that's been drilled into his head, and if anything goes against that talking point, he's ready to pull his sword out of his scabbard. He's ready to slash at anyone who disagrees with his talking point. That's basically what's going on here.
When you say you got this fight, first of all, there are multiple fights, the multiple issues we can be concerned about. Voting is one of those issues. Are you not concerned that Republicans in your state are trying to restrict access to the ballot for no reason other than they are pushing the lie that Donald Trump also pushed?
Now, once again, you know, he's saying Republicans, they're pushing for the same lie that Donald Trump also pushed. What lie is that, Roland?
Right, absolutely. I understand exactly what you're saying. However, again, that's not my fight. I believe.
No. I asked you a question. The question is this here. Do you believe Republicans in your state are wrong to be pushing this voter suppression bill?
Can you give me the list of things that are on the bill? Because I know you said the voter ID.
Well, no, here's a perfect example. This particular bill right here gets rid of no excuse absentee balloting. Republicans in Georgia passed no excuse absentee balloting 15 years ago thinking it was going to help them. They're angry because you had people who voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and also John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock won, so they're changing the law because they're angry they lost at the ballot box. But for 14 years, it was fine until last year.
And of course, I don't think Roland Martin remembers. I think he has some short-term memory loss or something. But when Donald Trump won the election, the liberals, they were up in arms because, Russia helped Donald Trump win this election. And for 4 years, we had to listen to that rhetoric. Russia helped him win this election. We listened to them for 4 years. And now he wants to talk about the Republicans being mad, and so now they want to change the law because what happened was, like I said earlier, the election was stolen. Nobody can convince me otherwise. The election was stolen. But anyway, let me go on. I see you there, caller. Give me a little while.
Is that, again, do you consider that to be egregious on the part of Georgia Republicans? Why would they change the law because they lost? How about making a better argument for the voters?
I agree with you. I do. I agree with you. I'm not against you there. I definitely think that is an issue that I believe you guys could fight. But that, again, voting is not my issue to fight. I believe.
So what's your issue to fight?
My issue, I fight for young black men before they die. And that's what I do in my organization. I do teach them to vote, but I don't tell them that voting is going to be the be-all, end-all.
No one says it's the be-all, end-all, but it's a part of it.
But you guys promote voting like it's just going to change, like, the systemic outlook of the black community. That's not where it's at.
Now, this young man, his intelligence is above his age. You know, do you hear him conceding certain points to Roland Martin? He's being respectful, but he's saying, this is not my fight. He said, this is not my fight. He said, look, Roland, this is your fight. And he even said, he does tell his subjects, I don't like that word, but he tells his subjects, that, yeah, vote, but the voting is not the end-all. Voting is not the end-all. Voting is part of the process. But see, Roland, I'm about to call him Roland Emmerich, Roland Martin, and Roland Martin will tell you, I'm not saying that, but don't you vote. Roland is speaking out of the side of his neck, so to speak. That's basically what he's doing. Roland really doesn't know what he is talking about. And you got this young man who should be celebrated, 21 years old. And not only that, he said 2 years ago. This is when he was about 18, 19 years old. He said they started taking people who were on the street, wanted to teach. This kid was still a teenager. And now he's 21 years old, has his own school, privately funded. But the apostles of blackness, they got a problem with it. Let me go ahead.
Have to get out and go do for self in our own community.
So define do for self.
When I say do for self, you shared one of my tweets of my videos, and I was actually a big fan of yours, but you shared one of my tweets when I said black people need to stop begging the government and go and do for self out in our communities. You shared the video and called me an idiot. I didn't see anything idiotic about that statement
at
all.
So when you say do for self, like what? Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Okay, for example, here in Albany, Georgia, we complain about our school systems a lot. Many of our young men can't read. They have very horrible literacy rates. We don't have any rehab programs here for juvenile offenders. What I decided to do, I started a program 2 years ago, decided to do for self, and I started taking children into my home.
2 years ago. Folks, 2 years ago. He was 18, 19 years old 2 years ago. This young man needs to be celebrated, and he is a black young man. He needs to be celebrated. Roland Martin and his lackeys in the Apostles of Blackness, they need to say, hey, you all, check this guy out. This is who we need to be patterning after. Look at this young man. Look at what he's doing in his community. But no, if he ain't depending on the government, you know, something's wrong with him. And the young man even said that he used to be a fan of Roland Martin, but Roland Martin, you know, shared a tweet and called him an idiot. How in the world are you going to call someone an idiot who's doing something like this? Isn't this what the apostles of blackness are about? Bringing our communities up out of poverty, being self-reliant and everything? Apparently not. We can't be self-reliant unless we're depending on the government.
I started taking custody of kids from juvenile court, and I started molding them and training them and teaching them skill trades, et cetera. Now I'm 21 years old. I just purchased a school here in Albany, Georgia, to combat us being in the government-funded schools that are not teaching our children what they need to learn. So that's what I mean by do for self, simply getting up and going out and do it.
I have a question.
The stereotype that I'm young, black, in America, and I can't do anything because somebody's holding me down. So
listen to this kid. Y'all listen to this. Why Roland Martin isn't saying, I hear you. Oh, that is all right. No, he just wants to argue with him. He said, I don't want to use the excuse that I'm young and black and someone is holding me down. I'm going to go out here and do for self. But you know what? The apostles of blackness, that's the excuse that they come up with why they keep falling short all the time.
Me and some teenagers went and bought a school, and we just bought a school bus simply from going out and doing work. We decided to go fix our own communities. I'm not expecting anything from no politician. I'm not expecting nothing from Donald Trump, Joe Biden, or nobody. We're going to go do it for ourselves, and that's what I believe we should be doing. I can vote, sure, but nothing's going to change in our community.
So you went to the juvenile court system.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not government?
Absolutely.
So when you say purchase a school, and this school is going to be what? Private school? Charter school? What kind of school is it going to be?
No, it will be independently owned. This will not be funded by the government.
No, that's why I asked you. So it's going to be a private school?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a boarding school.
A boarding school. And then for the folks to be able to afford to send their kids to the boarding school, what kind of mechanisms are they using in Georgia? Their own funds? Are they using school vouchers? What are they using?
I can't hear you say that again for me.
I said, what mechanism are they using to send their kids there to pay for the school? Their own money, or are they utilizing vouchers from the Georgia government?
Absolutely. So for our school, we're financed completely by donors. We have many donors that have given yearly endowments to our school that will be able to pay for these students to come to our school for free. Many people believe in our mission, and we're making sure that young black men, where we live, where we don't have any rehab programs, for juvenile offenders to even get out of jail and stay out of jail, we have people that believe in our mission that are trying to send children to the Expo Boys for free. We have many people that are trying to send kids to this boarding school to be able to take care of themselves. That's what I mean by doing for self. We got to simply get up and do it.
So,
folks, I'm telling you, my mind is blown. My mind is blown for two reasons. The rhetoric of this young man, he needs to be celebrated, and the arrogance of Roland Martin. But anyway, you all stay on the phones. Stay on the phones. I got to do some advertising, but I will be back. And when I come back, I will pick up on the phones. You all are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member.
Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Folks, welcome back to the show. If you'd like to be a guest, to call in at 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I hope you folks are getting something out of this. I just don't want to be up here just talking and talking and you're not getting something out of it. And when I speak something on this show, I want to caution the people, don't just take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. That's why I try to put up links. I'm going to try to polish this show a little bit better than I have, by putting out more information, because there's so much information out there. It just comes at you at light speed. And, but like I said, don't just accept my word for it because I'm speaking it or saying it or something like that. Just check it out for yourself, because to be honest with you, and I know I'm saying this about myself, but I have no biases against anyone. I have no grudges or anything. And so really, I don't feel like I need to embellish a story or tell a lie to get you to think like I am. I'm just going to tell it to you truthfully, straight up. And if what I say is an opinion and I find out that my opinion is different from the truth, then I'm going to hold on to the truth. So. Me do this right quick. Fruit bite alarm. That means I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're not going to add something to this conversation, anything of value to this conversation, I advise you to hang up now. If you're going to involve yourself in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, or trolling just to disrupt the show, I'm going to give you a word of warning. You best hang up now. Because if you don't, you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. And that means I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your comments and your questions. But having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Well, look here, Vince, I don't know what I could contribute, but I'm about to commit a revolutionary act. I'm about to tell the truth.
Oh, my goodness. This is not Sarge, is it? Oh, my goodness. Let me just shut down the show, and I'll just get the show over to Sarge.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what the subject is. I just tuned in. I heard a little bit of it. I couldn't make sense of it because I missed too much. But I said, look, whatever it is you're talking about, it's got to be pertinent. So I figured I'd just call in and catch whatever it is.
Yeah, basically I was talking about this young man named King Roland One, who was on Roland Martin's I keep forgetting this young man's name. It's King Randall One. He's on Roland Martin's show, and he was telling Roland Martin what, he was buying, he bought a school, he bought a school bus, and he's trying to teach these young people how to be self-sufficient. And Roland Martin, of course, being the member of the Apostles of Blackness that he is, he doesn't agree with that. He thinks everything is about government, 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 government. And he seems to have a problem with this young man saying what he is saying. And, you know, so, and of course, they're going along the lines of the Georgia voting, the Georgia Reformation voting bill. You know, they're saying that's racist. That's going to disenfranchise a lot of black people, which I think is ridiculous. But, you know, but that's why I was playing a video. And for those of you all who want to see the video, I won't be able to do the entire thing on this show. I left their comment in the chat room. Just click on that link, and you should be able to get the full interview. So,
well, I tell you, Brother Vince, with the advent of COVID-19 fascism and the general Bolshevization and Sovietization and the cultural Marxism of the now ascended radical nutcase lunatic dementive and depraved Democrat Party, we are witnessing, in a manner we have never witnessed before, the infantilization of the American people as they get us ready for serfdom in their impending form of American-style socialist slavery. I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing in my life right now. I never thought it would come about in my lifetime, at least, but it is here. It is here now. We've got a lunatic Speaker of the House saying she decides how elections, the outcome of elections. She's literally getting ready to overturn the results of a certified election. What was that Sturm und Drang from these Democrats all this time about? You don't overturn the results of elections that are certified. And here she is trying to overturn one in Iowa. And, but, of course, hypocrisy is not just something, a tool that Democrats use. It is essential to the way they conduct their affairs. You got Hunter Biden now. Hunter Biden now, guilty apparently, you know, if there's an investigation, maybe we could find out, of a felony lying on his form 4473, while at the very same time the senile old goat in the White House seeks to strip us of our Second Amendment rights in violation of the Constitution of the United States, while at the same time they're trying to pass a bill called H.R. 1, which would federalize the presidential procedure that Article 2 of the Constitution says rests completely with the states. Every single word of that 700-page bill, to include every word that starts with and, if, or the, is unconstitutional, illegal, and an exercise in pure tyranny, and we are living it and watching it every day. The outrages grow one upon another, and we thought King George III was bad? What do we do then?
Hey, Sarge,
I've never seen anything like this.
Sarge, can you hold that thought right quick? I'm going to get this other caller on, too. I'm going to leave you on. Let me get this other caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Wow. Two voices that I've never heard in a long time. Vince, what's happening?
This is not DC Rocks. This is not
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, man, what are we having today? A family reunion?
It might be.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Goodness, I ain't heard from you in about 5 or 6 years, maybe longer. I don't know.
I was just telling my wife that same thing. It's been a minute. I've been going through a lot of health issues, but I'm getting back into the game. And I was online yesterday, and I said, you know what? I was listening to the show on CNM Radio yesterday. And he mentioned that you were going to have a show today. So I said, you know what? I got to call in and check on my homeboy.
And it just so happens
that Sarge is in the same house today, too.
Yeah, you know Sarge is going to bring the heat, boy.
He always does.
I mean, Sarge doesn't say good morning in the morning. He says, boy, I love the smelling napalm in the morning.
Yeah, and just like Sarge was talking about, that H.R. 1, everything about it is unconstitutional. Everything about that thing
everything
is unconstitutional.
Everything. Yes.
And talking about the voter rights bill that they just passed here in Georgia, because, you know, I live in Georgia. I think Sarge lives in Georgia, too.
I surely do. And I thought Georgia was a refuge from things Democrat. And now I'm getting ready to look to another place. Florida's right next door. I just mixed my head there.
No, like you said.
Well, we messed up what it was on.
Man, I'm just saying, though. I mean, you know, like, at least they're going in the right direction with this voter bill that this crazy lunatic Democrat just got locked up for. Thank God. I said, man, when are they going to charge her with insurrection or sedition?
Yeah.
This cannon woman? Oh, and she's a new celeb amongst all the woke-topians out there. Why did you arrest a legislator during legislative session? Well, the exception for arresting a legislator during legislative session, there are two. Read the statute. The exceptions are felony or breach of the peace.
All right.
She was probably doing both of them.
You got to take that one out.
So you can arrest a legislator when they commit a felony or a breach of the peace, like disorderly conduct.
Which is actually,
of course,
which is
never
exactly
bother
what
to
she
read
did.
The law anyway. Don't care what they are anyway when they do. They just seek to change it to their advantage.
Yeah, I saw that video, and I was like, wow. And people sitting there, why y'all arresting her? Why y'all arresting her? She was breaking the law. You know, I mean, and of course, you know, the apostle of blackness, they want to make this out to be, oh, it's because she's black and all that.
Yeah,
and I'm like, man, y'all got to cut that mess out.
But again, it's true. Legislators, in most states, are immune from arrest when they're in session. That's true. The exception, again, is felony or breach of the peace. She was doing both.
Yeah. And you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's what happened to her.
You
got to
take that out.
So.
Fuck.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, you know what the worst thing right now going on? Well, there's two, and they're almost at the same level of hazard. Although the one I'm about to speak to is probably the worst. The one at the border, of course, that is a man-made disaster, and the man who made it is named Joe Biden, because he inherited the most secure border we've had in at least the last 30 to 40 years. He inherited from the greatest president of my lifetime, Donald John Trump. And now this man has completely turned it around, upset everything that was making it stable, to include the agreements we had with other Central American nations to keep the border stabilized and secure. And now this man, and then he will not take responsibility for it. But that isn't the worst thing. The worst thing is what they are doing to the armed forces of the United States. And if you want a good historical precedent for it, I'd advise you to read the Stalinist purges of the Red Army in 1937. I've never seen an army begin on a procedure like this one, or the armed forces, rather, like this one is doing right now. The only thing that comes to mind is, like I said, what Stalin did in his great purge of 1937. They are literally purging the army of incorrect thought, bad things. If you are a perpetrator of bad things, you are not allowed to be a soldier, no matter how good or efficient one you are. This is insane. This is utterly insane. They are doing everything they can to destroy the combat efficiency of the most important single institution in the federal government. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe, to a great extent, that almost every single officer in the armed force, from the rank of a two-star general, that would be major general in the Army, rear admiral in the Navy, and so on, I believe they are perilously close to being considered enemies, domestic enemies of the United States, and they are running the armed forces. They're all woke-topians. And they say the craziest things that they know do not contribute to the combat efficiency of the armed forces.
Yeah.
And that's the most dangerous thing imaginable what they are doing. It is the most important single thing the federal government does to maintain an armed force that can protect this nation and its legitimate national security interests. And they are acting like it's some kind of social experimentation petri dish.
And so getting back to the immigration thing, did you handle question Joe Biden about the surge?
Sorry, Vince, you got a lot of background noise there. You're kind of garbled. It's kind of hard to hear.
Okay. But let me get that. Okay. But did you see where someone asked Joe Biden about the surge of immigrants at our border? And Joe Biden wanted to pass it off to, oh, well, this started during the last administration. I said, now, you know good and well, these people are right there at that border because they think that you're going to help them, you know, get a green card or become citizens or whatever. And even some of them even said that, hey, the reason why I'm coming here because Joe Biden, he's going to help us out. He's going to help us to become citizens and, you know, this is going to help me out in the long run and whatever. And Joe Biden wanted to say, oh, well, this started in the previous administration. Are you serious?
They are literally lying about fact. Do you realize this is the same senile old goat? And he might have forgot because he is senile, and somebody might have told him this, and he just decided to believe it. He said that a vaccine was not developed during the Trump administration.
Oh,
remember? He just said it to the public out loud.
Yep.
Yeah, that's because he's senile.
They'll just say anything. They will say anything, and they are unchecked. Where are all these fact checkers, these blue fact checkers, who were everywhere during the Trump administration? The man could not go through a press conference, and we got to give Trump credit because he took everybody on in the press conference. It was freewheeling. It was toe-to-toe. He was taking his bayonet, entrenching tool, knives, brass knuckles, fisticuffs, and he went toe-to-toe with them reporters, and he wasn't scared of nothing. Now what do we get?
Yeah.
We get program setups with this clown, this senile old goat, with his cheat sheets, and who to call on next with the pre-programmed questions, and he still can't answer them.
I mean, for real, I'm telling you, and my wife was telling me this the other day. She said that when Trump was in office, the reporters hounded him. They wouldn't even let him talk. They kept cutting him off and everything. But now that Joe Biden is in, they give him these little softball questions and whatever. And I'm like, and look, just like someone told me one time, they said, look, Stevie Wonder can see what is going on here. Even Stevie Wonder can see it. So. And I'm telling you, if I had a problem, if I had some type of sleep deprivation or something like that, watching that press conference the other day, I would have been completely cured because I was like, Joe just seems like he's just all over the place, and he doesn't seem to know. He doesn't seem to know where he is. He doesn't seem to know how to answer the questions or whatever. And see, I have a little theory myself, personally. This is my personal theory. I think people knew what they were doing when they voted for Joe Biden. First of all, they stole the election. Right there, you know, they
no doubt. No doubt.
They got Kamala Harris to be a vice president because they don't think that Joe is going to last 4 years. Ain't no one in their right mind can look at Joe Biden falling up the stairs or whatever. Nobody in their right mind can look at and say that Joe Biden is going to last for 4 years. He might. He just might. But see, this is what's going to happen. If Joe Biden goes off the scene either by death or by the enacting of the 25th Amendment, you know who's going to be president. You know who's going to be president. It's going to be
the incumbent president for 2024, no less.
And not only that, you know who's going to be vice president. Oh, Nasty Nancy. So get them out of the way, and we'll be like, oh, look, we got our first lady president, and we got a lady vice president. It's a full one.
Oh, and they're going to reverse the senility, though. They have a senile vice president and an active-minded Bolshevik Oh, by the way, she's also ineligible just like Obama. She ain't a natural born citizen. She was born a Jamaican citizen, an Indian citizen, and a citizen of the U.S. by virtue of the 14th Amendment, which did not exist in 1787 when Article II was ratified. And the 14th Amendment did not modify in any way, shape, form, or fashion Article II. So therefore, the question has to be asked, if there was not a 14th Amendment, she wouldn't have even been a citizen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
but here we are, people, and let's pretend she was born a citizen. That makes her naturally born one.
Exactly.
I mean, we're just sitting here, we're living in bizarro land.
Yeah, and I'm telling you all, it's becoming easy to do a show now because these incidents just come at you like light speed. It's like, oh, my gosh. And before you can even get your mind around one, here comes another. It's like, oh, my goodness, what in the world is going on? I mean, we're living in cuckoo banana town right now, you know. I mean, and folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. Those of you all who voted for Biden and you want to sit there and say, well, he won fair and square, whatever, you know he didn't win fair and square. You know he didn't. He did not win this election fair and square, but you all don't care because y'all got rid of the orange man. And I'm going to tell you, I was born in 1968, and Donald Trump is the best president in my lifetime. Now, you might disagree with me. Hey, that's fine. But Donald Trump is definitely by far even better than Reagan. And that's
amen.
But he is the best president because what I saw of Donald Trump, the first time he was up for election, I didn't vote for him because I was like, oh, just that guy on the Apprentice or whatever. I don't have no, you know, I really didn't have confidence in him the first time. But when that man got into office and he started knocking things down one by one, I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, this guy is different. He's not playing around. He said he went about at least attempting to do what he said he was going to do. And he won me over, and I voted for him in his last election. And
Vince, I'm going to tell you something. When Donald Trump announced his intention to run for president, I thought it was a joke. I said, you got to be kidding me. This man wouldn't know anything about the Constitution that fell out of Trump Tower and smacked him on his head. I said, this is a joke presidency. He's a clown. He's a showman. I've never been so glad to be so wrong in my life. Is he flawed? Yes. He's a human being. Ain't none of us perfect. But by God, he did more for the United States in the shortest amount of time than I can think of almost any other president in my lifetime. And I mean it. I mean, that man was simply incredible. His first elected office, president of the United States. And he fulfilled the role as commander-in-chief and chief executive superbly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened. And we got the trade deal with China. We got North Korea doing what they were doing. We got the Middle East peace talks and peace deals with Arab countries. They were dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Nobody ever thought that was possible. You know, we had the best economy we've seen in our life, in living memory for most people. Living with the best economy, lowest unemployment numbers, everything. Man, cruising to victory. And then all of a sudden we get this Wuhan flu. We get the situation with George Floyd. We get the COVID fascist response from these local and state governors. And then they had the perfect storm to engineer the theft of this election using COVID-19 as a cover in order to subvert the Constitution in six key swing states and in violation of Article 2 of the Constitution, prevent the legislature of those states from changing their election laws. For that alone, forget the fraud part with Dominion voting machines. Let's just put that aside for a moment, even though I believe there's a strong case there. Let's just set that aside for just a minute. Let's just look at the fact that in many of these states, election laws were altered without the consent of the legislature. That is unconstitutional. The remedy should have been, if the Supreme Court had the guts to hear it, should have been to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court should have invalidated those electoral votes and not allow them to be counted by the Electoral College. They were unconstitutionally acquired votes, even if they were all legitimate, which I don't believe they were.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, if you guys
remember, started about 7 years ago with George Soros and his Secretary of State program. Do you guys remember that?
I do.
The Secretary of State program. Who were the guys that changed the election laws that were unconstitutional? It was the Secretary of State. All of those guys changed the laws. It was unconstitutional. And they stole an election because of it. And mainly because of the absentee votes. Because of COVID, it gave them an excuse, and they used the absentee votes, the absentee ballots, to steal the election. I know in Georgia, one of the things that frustrated me so bad was the fact of the matter that the Secretary of State was allowing people to come and fix their signatures on absentee ballots. And this is after the election was over with. That is illegal. You can't do that. And they were allowing people to fix their signatures. If your signature is wrong on your absentee ballot, it's not counted.
And the laws of the state of Pennsylvania, for instance, the law that was just ignored in Pennsylvania, said that any absentee ballot received after a certain date would not be allowed to be counted. And the judges, mind you, ordered the counting of those ballots over 3 days after, almost 68 hours after Election Day, in clear contravention of Pennsylvania law. We just had a ruling from a Michigan Supreme Court that said that the issues that Donald Trump ran on were valid and the suit could be heard. They're still hearing that suit in that state.
Right.
Wow.
And it was so frustrating that the Supreme Court wouldn't even hear them.
United States Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's what ticked me off right there. Only Alito and you know, that coon, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, the greatest jurist in the Supreme Court.
They were the only ones that dissented, you know. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're not even going to look at this? Oh, no, there was no election fraud. There was none at all. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, and that right there, that when – I saw that, I said, you know what, this election's over. You know, people can say whatever they want to, but the Supreme Court is not even going to look at it. You know, and Clarence Thomas and Judge Alito, they were the only ones that said, hey, we need to look at this. But no, the rest of them, they just
Article
said,
2,
I
Section
said,
1 is as plain as a bell. You don't have no college degree to be able to interpret it. Article 2,
right.
Section 1,
I mean,
right
really.
There.
Yeah, exactly. And had it not been for COVID, Donald Trump would have won in a landslide.
He did win in a landslide, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
I believe that, too.
They just made it easier for them to steal it. See, here's where I was wrong. This is where I was wrong. I thought initially, I said, this COVID thing and them jiggering up the laws to create confusion in the election is simply there to cast doubt on the legitimacy of Donald Trump's reelection. Once the election is over, I said they're going to lose, but they're going to be able to cause enough confusion and chaos to say, oh, the president is not legitimate. Well, little did I realize they had engineered a massive campaign of fraud in six key states. They did it. They pulled it. The only thing that progressives, leftists, and Democrats are good at is tyranny and seizing power. They are good at, they ruin everything else they touch. Their governing capabilities are horrific. I mean, it's like right now, it's like we're living in Dante's Seven Rings of Hell with these people running this government. It is really that bad. It is getting worse. Transgender. Well, I mean, you're going to let girls and women have to compete against grown men? Chromosomal men? Do you realize that the best women's soccer team in the world, Olympic team, was beaten by 15-year-old high school boys? Did you hear what I just said? 15-year-old high school boys beat the best women's Olympic soccer team in the world.
Wow.
And here we are playing Let's Pretend. Let this idiot, senile old goat, a woman can do everything just as well as a man.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually believe they've seen too many damn movies. They watch Wonder Woman once too many times. They believe it. I try to write your name in the snow with your pee and tell me you can do that better than a man.
Oh, my
goodness. I never
see
such insanity in my life, guys, as wisdom.
Sarge, you are a character, man.
Gosh, I've lived too long to put up with this.
I know that's right. Let me get this other caller on here. I got another caller here. Let me get him on. I know who this is. Uh-oh, taking a while. Hey there, Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you on.
Oh, okay, I'm on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, how you doing this evening?
Doing good. Having a time here with G-Ski Rocks and Sarge.
I figured you wouldn't recognize me because you were so deeply involved with these guys that's having a good time laughing on your show. And I just want to thank you and appreciate you for acknowledging me. So you are so true, and I'm with you. And I just want to say one more thing, too, that, you know, I've never seen an election like this last election. And as you well know, of all the times I said things to you, I said they don't care nothing about you. They just want your vote. And as far as I'm concerned, we all need to get down on our knees and pray for this country. Well, pray for the world for that thought about. And then they got all this crap in Georgia about voting, and they arrested the lady. I saw it on TV this morning. In Georgia somewhere, state trooper, and this was a governmental official. That's arrested her. They stood outside, she was knocking on the door, trying to get in there to explain something or concern it. And the two state troopers in Georgia arrested her right on the spot.
She stepped out of bounds. She was out of order. She was breaking the law, and that's why they came in and they arrested her. And, you know, the problem here with this voting law is that people are trying to push that this is a racist thing, that, you know, they're trying to disenfranchise black people and keep black people from voting and whatever. And she stepped across her lane, and that's why she was arrested. And some people were sitting there, they were like, well, why are y'all arresting her? Why y'all? Because she broke the law. That's what happened. She broke the law. You know, and there are legal ways to, you know, get your voice out there or whatever. But some things it's just against the law for you to do. And what she did was she stepped over her bounds, and so that's why that happened. But people are all upset and they're crying and whining about that Georgia law. I don't know why Georgia has become the black hole in this country all of a sudden. You know, I got two guys from Georgia on here. But and Iredell, you're down in Florida, so that's part of it, too. But
I'm going to have to hang up on you behind there. You're talking about Florida. We got enough knuckleheads down here in Florida. And if you don't know, we got a lot of knuckleheads down there. Guess what? All you got to do is watch, what's that guy's name? Dawson Speaks.
Oh, yeah. So, In fact, let me say
one more thing. There's a thing on YouTube that says, only in Florida. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I've seen that video, you know, the guy trying to rob the convenience store with an alligator. I thought that was hilarious. You know, I was like, what? You, rawr, rawr. Give me them Skittles, you know. I mean, I'm like, what in the world? You know, but like I was, I shared earlier a video, and once again, you know, those of you all in the chat room, you can go up to the link and click on it. But it had one Roland Martin, who was a member of the Apostles of Blackness. And he was basically excoriating this young man who was 21 years old, and he's trying to get black people to become self-sufficient. And he was just demeaning this guy. This kid, 21 years old, and you know, I, like I said earlier, I felt a little guilty because I was like, man, when I was 21 years old, I didn't have the mind that this kid did. You know, I mean, he's taking people in. He's trying to teach them a trade so that he can be self-sufficient. But Roland Martin, you know, he's one of, you know, he's a slave to the government. He thinks everybody should be a slave to the government. He just turned this boy down, talking about, oh, don't you vote, and where you going to get the funds and everything, because Roland Martin is a government guy. He thinks the government is the end-all, the cure-all, for whatever ails the black race, and we've been believing that for at least 60 years, and things haven't gotten better. Check out Baltimore. You know, had that young lady up there, Kim Clancy. She was walking through the streets of Baltimore, and of course they didn't vote for her because they wanted to vote for Kwasi Mpume, because that's the person everyone's familiar with. But this young lady, I was like, if I lived in Baltimore, she would have gotten my vote probably the day before election day. I was like, oh my goodness, this is someone that Baltimore needs, because I used to grow up in D.C. I grew up in Washington, D.C. And a couple of times I took a trip to Baltimore, and I was like, oh my goodness, I thought D.C. was rough. Baltimore made D.C. look like the land of Oz. I'm telling you. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And this was in the 80s. So, you know, it's progressively worse now. I mean, they had a row house that had a tree growing in it. And this tree was not a little tree. This tree was about maybe, it was about 4 feet in diameter, growing through the row house. And I said, you mean to tell me some of these houses have been abandoned since at least the 1970s, and no one has done a cotton picking thing about it? But no, Kim Clancy, you know, she's a black girl, and she's conservative, so that means she's a sellout, and we can't vote for her, you know, and everything. But, oh, yeah, let's vote for Kwasi Mpume because, you know, he cares about black people. You know, we living in Cuckoo Banana Town in the United States. Pretty soon they're going to have to change our name from the United States of America to the People's Republic of Stupidity, because, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is just off in left field. Anybody want to feed into that?
Well, the question is now, what are we prepared to do about it?
Yeah.
It's mighty crazy that a lot of our Republican cohorts have lost their backbone, their spines, and not doing anything.
Oh, gosh.
Did you notice how many Republicans turned their back on Donald Trump?
Yeah.
During the election, it was insane. These guys have turned their backs on the Republican Party. So the question is, what are we prepared to do to take back our country? There has to be something. Yeah. Like
let me put it in the most extreme solution imaginable, and I don't want to get Vince in no trouble, so I'm just going to relate a historical reality that actually happened in the history of the United States. It happened on April 19, 1775. All I got to tell you is look up the Battle of Lexington and Concord. I will rest my case. Now, that's an extreme solution if it comes to that. But what we are facing now is probably the greatest single domestic threat to our liberties and our Constitution that we have ever, certainly in my lifetime, this modern-day Democratic Party, which is determined to create a one-party state. Do you realize that not one single human being arrested for this alleged insurrection in the Capitol that these demon rats are using for their version of the Reichstag fire? Not one of them has been charged with insurrection. It was a riot. Nothing more, nothing less. A riot. But they're trying to say it was an insurrection, which justifies, A, purging the armed forces, purging it, mind you, of people who might have voted for Trump and maybe believed in a forceful opposition to the election of Joe Biden, just believing it, just having the belief. Number two, purging the federal government. They arrested, they have discharged and fired and even arrested federal agents who were just there taking pictures and then turned the pictures over to their federal colleagues in law enforcement, and they fired them. The purges and the censorship on these tech platforms that don't allow contrary speech. All of this is going on right in front of us, and it's just got started. Man, what do you think we're going to be in 2 years? And these Vichyite Republicans, good God, the Susan Collins and the Lisa Murkowskis and the Mitt Romneys and Kissinger up there in Illinois, good God almighty, we can't count on them either. It's going to have to be the people or nothing.
You're on. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. Years ago, we had a Boston Tea Party. Well, let me take it up to the year 2021. We need to have a United States Tea Party and get our country back. Touche on that one.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
If they turn this country into a one-party state with this H.R. 1, what are we going to do? What was it Malcolm X said? It's either the soapbox or the ballot box or the cartridge box. Hey, isn't Malcolm X one of their saints, the less patriot saints? Isn't that what he said? When you deny the other two, there's only one that's left?
Yep.
That's right.
I'm telling you. And see, this is the thing that gets me, too, is that our friends on the left, they care more about the events of one day than they care about what happened during 6 months last year. 6 months last year, oh, that ain't a big deal. But January the 6th of 2021, oh, my gosh, we saw the scum of the earth. But
they are talking about Beyonce fans. They are Beyonce fans because she came with a song, To the Left, To the Left.
Yeah.
By the way, can I ask any of y'all a question? Because this is really starting to get to me now. I mean, it's one thing that's like this is, out of all the outrages there are, this is just one more in a sea of outrages. Will anybody tell me who killed Ashley Babbitt in that so-called insurrection? Who killed the woman? And would they please give me the legal and constitutional rationale as to why they killed her? How long did it take to find out who Derek Chauvin was? And his actions probably were not the proximate cause of George Floyd's death. We knew within a couple of days. It's been months now, and we still don't know who killed Ashley Babbitt and why did he kill her. Do we not have the right to know why our government officials who in our name kill citizens? For all I know, it was justified. I want to hear him explain it, and I want to know who he was.
Yep.
Exactly.
And keep in mind, she was a Trump supporter. You know, but people want to exploit her death and say, you all hear about those people who got killed at the Capitol, the white supremacists. Now, I was watching that as it unfolded, and there were several black people up in that crowd too. So this thing about white supremacists taking over the Capitol building, you know, I don't know where they got that from. Well, of course, I know where they got it from. You know, it just fits their talking point. You know, because a lot of people, they don't read, they don't research, they don't check facts out, and so basically the media can come up there and tell them anything, and they'll just jump to conclusions and just believe it at the drop of a hat. But I watched that. I watched as it unfolded, and there were several black people in that crowd, and not only that, most of the people in that crowd, probably 99.9% of them did not storm the Capitol building. But yet and still, we want to call these people in Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They committed acts of violence. Two people got killed in the Chaz Chop area, and they committed $2 billion
worth of damage. And Michelle Obama had to learn to get up there and say these were mostly peaceful protesters. Well, Michelle, apparently you don't understand that peaceful protesters don't commit $2 billion worth of damage. So, and
well, I like to hit the text up. Vince, I would like you to go to the website justice.gov/USAO-DC/capital-breach-cases. It's got every single name of every single individual charged in this so-called insurrection. And here's a typical charges against these people. I'm looking at every single person the DOJ is charging. I'm looking at one woman named Patricia Todisco, knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority, violent entry, and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. Benjamin Torrey, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, entering and remaining in certain rooms in a Capitol building, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. There are no charges more serious than those out of all of these cases. I believe it's 80 of them, maybe 80 or 120 of them. There's not one single charge of sedition. Not one.
Yeah, not one.
They keep saying it because they're lying. It's their excuse for their version, an American-style version of the Reichstag fire to give the Fuhrer an enabling act.
Yep. Go ahead.
I'd like to say this real quick. There was a whole lot of people, and if Vincent understands, so if you don't understand what I'm getting ready to say, he'll explain it to you. There was a whole lot of people thinking we're all stupid.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot that term, thinking we're all stupid. You know, I need to get that
out.
I figured it was time for me to put it out there. Yeah,
I mean, what we're looking at is we are in true peril. Like I said, this purge, and remember, here's one thing about the armed forces. This purge they're trying to do in the armed forces. Remember, the armed forces can't. They're not supposed to say anything about it. We are. See, you got to remember, you don't have First Amendment rights when you're subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You lose a lot of the rights you take for granted as civilian when you're in the armed forces and subject to the UCMJ. You don't have First Amendment rights for the most part. You don't have Second Amendment rights. You ain't got right against unreasonable search and seizure. You got to lose all kind of rights when you go into the armed forces. That's why it's up to us who are civilians to speak on their behalf. What's being done to them is wrong. We need to scream about it. What are you doing, you senile old goat? What's the matter with you? They're not allowed to speak out against their lawful orders. Okay, you're ordered to go attend a training class. Okay, they got to go sit there. It's an order. They got to obey it.
Yeah.
But we should be saying it's not appropriate. Why are you wasting their time? Why don't you have them doing some land navigation or calling in indirect fire or, even working on quantum computing threats because the Chinese are. They're going to wage high-tech cyber warfare against. They're going to knock out all our computer systems because they're obsolete.
What do you think is going to happen then? I could probably do a whole show on China. And my wife, she likes to watch this channel called China Today. And my wife used to live in China. She lived in China for 10 years. She can speak the language and everything. And she likes to watch this channel on YouTube called it's one called NTD, and it's another one called China Today. And she could probably do a whole show on China, because my wife, she hails from Liberia. But coming to this country, the thing that bothers her the most is people who were born and raised in this country who speak out against this country. Like, this country is the most hateful country ever, and it boggles her mind. She doesn't understand. She's like, you were born here. You all have more freedom. I mean, she comes from a country where she was a POW at one time. She was living in a hut, and they threatened to set fire to her hut if she didn't come out of that hut. And she was a POW for some time. So, I mean, and we're here in this, we're in the freest nation in the world, living in the freaking United States of America. And we got more freedoms than anyone.
But we think this is the worst. We think this country is worse than China. We think the United States is more racist than any. I mean, try to get ahead as a black person in China. Just try, you know. And my wife said, if you are black and you came from another country or whatever, they put you in a special school. And I said, you got to be kidding. But we want to talk about racism here. We want to talk about, you know, America's racist past, whatever that means, whatever. Don't get me wrong. I understand that we had the Jim Crow. We had the slavery. I understand that. But we're not living in that today. And thanks to our Constitution, you know, and certain figures bringing the Constitution to life, bringing it, putting it in our face and saying, hey, this is what your Constitution says. That's what led to us being free in this country. But you go to other countries, you don't have the freedoms that you have in the United States. I mean, thank God for the United States. We got people trying to wear down the freedoms that we have, but I still thank God for it because, I mean, what other country are you going to go to and have the same freedom that you have here? Cuba, Venezuela, Chile, China? I mean, come on, really.
The reason they have to negate the Constitution is because it is in their way. They're already disregarding key provisions of it, and it's still in effect. Now, you know, they have to negate it in order to achieve their objective because the Constitution, properly applied, simply will not allow it. So in order to assist them in that goal, that's part and parcel of pretending like we were living in Cambodia in the year zero when Pol Pot came to power. Everything that goes before is either bad, invalid, or must be done away with because it's a reminder of the bad old days in the past, the traditions upon which this country was founded, its heroes, its victories. Everything must be essentially wiped away and done away with in order to create the brave new world and create a brand new style of Soviet man. Man, George Orwell had it right. It's newspeak run rampant. It's Ingsoc. It's everything he said. We are living right in 1984, what? We're living 1984, 36 years later. We're here now.
Yep.
1984
yep,
is here now.
Here.
The date was off a little bit. Ingsoc, newspeak, bad speak, thought crime, you name it, we're here. These people are demented, lunatic, they are, above all, they are ruthless, they are fanatical, and you can't talk sense to them. Look at two United States senators, this horrid creature, Mazie Hirono and Tammy Duckworth. They had the nerve to get up there and say, you're not supposed to hire white men for a job. Which, by the way, is not only illegal, it's unconstitutional, and everything. She just said it. We're not going to consider any white man for this job. She said it. We're not going to even consider them. She said it out loud and in public. And then she has the nerve to talk about potential extremists in the armed forces. These people who live in a dual reality at the same time. They think that you can actually have two realities at the same time, and the one that redounds against them is not to be considered. These people are mad. Yeah.
And if I may interject right quick, I'm glad you brought up the book 1984. I downloaded it. I forgot where I got it from, but I downloaded it as a PDF. It was free, and I got it downloaded on my computer. But I also, this is another book, and Bring It Boy, who is in my chat room right now, he'll know what I'm talking about. It's another book I've been pushing for a couple of months now called Color, Communism, and Common Sense by a man named Manning Johnson. And let me tell you, if you put Color, Communism, and Common Sense PDF in your search engine, it'll bring up a PDF and you can get the book for free. But I heard the audio version of it, and this man was a black guy, and he was a communist for 10 years, and he exposed some of the stuff. And this was in 1958, folks. This was in 1958 when he wrote this book. And I don't know if the man had a time machine or whatever, and he went forward to 2021, and he went back and brought this information back to 1958. But a lot of the things he talks about in this book are some of the things that we are going through today in this country. But I will I will implore you, go get the PDF, Color Communism and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. It's not a thick book. It's about, I don't know, maybe about 80 pages long. And if when you read that book, it'll open your eyes and you'll be like, oh my goodness, this is what's going on today. But I'm telling you, I'm glad you brought that up about 1984, and I gotta get on the ball and start reading that book too.
Yeah, go reread it, man. Animal Farm too, while you're at it. Those two compare, you got Animal Farm 1984, the whole picture he laid it out, 1948, 1952 or whatever it was the other one. I'm telling you, he laid it all out exactly right. But I'm telling you, man, two United States senators getting up here saying, and nobody pushed back against them. The Republicans just close their mouths and were afraid to speak. These are United States senators, both of them.
Yeah.
And they're talking like this.
Yeah. And let me get in because I got about 3 minutes left in the program. I just want to leave everyone. I want everybody, if you can make some closing arguments, and I'll start with you, Sarge.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. It was a joy to talk to you. It's been too long. I'm really glad, for a shot at it. It's been a great, it's a great show, great exchange of ideas. But I'm just telling you right now, all I got to say is one thing. Here are our options. One. We can either submit supinely to this and be prepared to enter into a new age of oligarchical, Soviet-style serfdom and oppression. Two, we can hope for a political solution that may not materialize if these people can codify the things that enable them to steal the election from Donald Trump in 2020. Or number three, we can be prepared to resist it by any means necessary, and I mean any, in order to prevent becoming serfs and losing our liberties. Those are the three options as I see them, and all I got to say to y'all out there is you pays your money and you takes your choice.
Okay. GC, you got any closing arguments yourself?
Hey, number one, it was great hearing you again. Great hearing Sarge again.
Oh, man.
And I'm just going to say I'm with Sarge.
Maybe we need to make that into a T-shirt. I'm with Sarge.
Yeah, we can start that.
Yeah. Okay. Dale, you got any closing arguments?
Well, I really already said what I need to say. We need to stop thinking while stupid and get some mature people to get this country all going the same direction. Because if we were a football, baseball, basketball team, we would always be in last place because, as I stop calling this United States of America, it's the un-United States of America. I am finished. By the way, great program. And to the other guys on this side and the other gentlemen, I fit right into that one. So.
Okay. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Oh, my goodness. This is one of the best shows I've had in a while. Sometimes I feel like I didn't prepare properly for the show, and I feel like that today. But the show must go on, and I am so glad that Sarge and G Ski were able to come on the show today. These guys, I'm telling you, these guys are like walking encyclopedias, And oh my goodness, it really did me a lot of good to have you all on the show today. But I'm gonna get ready to wrap this thing up. God willing. Next week, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only on CNN Radio. Tell your friends, get your mama, get your grandmama, get your great-grandmama, your great-grandpappy, and all of them. Come and listen to this show. But anyway, you all stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you guys on The Rebound. Y'all have a great Saturday.